All right, Uptown, we have an amazing show planned for you guys tonight. We don't just have an artist, we don't just have a performer, we have a number one artist who has been at the top of the charts since April. Not like, oh, it was a fluke and it happened yesterday and now it's not there anymore, but since April. And been wanting to get her on the show for quite a while now. You guys are going to have to check her out immediately following the program. We're going to have a couple songs going on the show. The queen of the blues and soul genre right now, Miss Joanne Parker, welcome to Masterclass.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
And so I'm going to jump right into it because you're the first number one artist we've had on the show. So we're definitely humbled by that you're willing to come here. And how was it like when you first heard, like, this album that you created, that you wrote, that you performed on is number one?
It's pretty cool. Just really, really grateful. I mean, these are the radio charts we're talking about. So it's just really cool that people are listening out there, listening to the music, and the DJs are playing it. And so that's really gratifying, to know that people are enjoying your music. I think that's the coolest thing for me. So, but thank you. It's been pretty fun.
And I know you've been doing it, making music for a while. This certainly isn't the first record. How long have you been doing it? And like, were you always in the blues genre, or did you try something else and then gravitate over here?
Well, I've been a musician almost my whole life, but this part of it is new for me. The band, I would say who I am now, the artist that I am now, where I'm at, I'm probably about 2 years into this. I had my first band about 4 years ago, but that was the first band that I had really ever been in. So I was, 36 years old. but I've been a musician my whole life. I started out as a classically trained pianist, and then I picked up trumpet, and I started singing when I was about two, I think, was the first time I sang in church. So music's always been a big part of my life. I went to college to be a band director, but definitely not a blues artist until the last few years. And this record is the second record, but like I said, I would say the artist that I am now, who this is where I feel really comfortable, I feel like I'm really coming into myself. I would say that this record, I would count this as my first record, because it really is. I really love it. I feel comfortable with it. I feel like I'm coming into myself and understanding what I'm really meant to do now.
Awesome. And so how did it feel the first time you heard yourself at all on the radio? Like, were you in the car, or did you know it was going to be played? Were you waiting, or did it just, like, by happenstance, you turn on the radio and there's your song?
I think the very first time was probably on an internet radio show that I knew it was coming on, but it was still pretty cool. But I do remember the first time I heard it just on FM radio as well, like here locally. And even I think about the first time, like, yeah, the first time is really cool, but even now when I'm, I think it was a couple weeks ago, I had an internet radio station on, like a blues station, and the first song that came on was one of mine. So that's still pretty neat to hear yourself randomly come on a station. Right.
And so being in Minnesota and Minneapolis region, was it difficult to get your music out there? And when you were coming up, was there any pressure at all because of the people who had come out of there before? Was there any pressure to be more funk, more pop, or were you free mainly to be who you wanted to be? And
I think that's a difficult question. I didn't feel it at first. Because I was so new, like when you're first new, people don't really take you seriously. I think, cause they don't know you. They don't know what you want. They don't know how serious you are. about your career and where you want to take it and what you want to do with it. So, you know, because a lot of people just make a record, right? There's a lot of local bands that just say, oh, we're going to make a record, and they do, and it doesn't go anywhere, and it's just for their fans, and that's fine. But I think when it became really known to people and obvious to people that I wanted this to be my career, and that I was very serious about it, and then I was investing in myself, and you know, really wanted, they could see I wanted to go for it. Then there were a couple situations, you know, where people approached me about making a record, producing my record. And I think that there would have been some pressure to go a different way if I would have said yeah to that, which is why I decided to just self-produce it and not worry about any of that. Because I did have a very clear vision. I've never been one of these artists who felt, not yet at least, I haven't felt like I've needed production. My songs have all been very much like done. You know, when I make them, I have them set out. Like, they don't really need too much. They just mostly need some frosting or a little polishing, but the meat is there. The song is there. So I think if I would have done that and had one of these people produce me, it could have gone a different way because of Minneapolis, the Minneapolis sound. So I mean, I'm glad that I did what I did, that I did it myself, because I had a clear vision for what I wanted. But there is a big blues community here, so you know, that's nice.
Yeah, and then making it like your own way, your own vision, and then have it go to number one, that's got to be very gratifying too, because this was your work, and it not to be attributed to somebody else or somebody else's idea, because it was all you. I can imagine that's probably much more gratifying and satisfying than, hey, I'm number one, and I'm number one because I did this, not anybody else.
Definitely, definitely. And I think it's scary sometimes to do it all by yourself, especially when you have, you know, some other people who are saying, oh, we'd really like to do this for you, and you turn them down, you know, because it's kind of scary, because then you think, well, what if it doesn't do anything? You know, what if it doesn't go anywhere? Then maybe I should have taken them up on it. But so it's really great to know that, you know, you did the work and it paid off.
Yeah, because now, you know, like in the future, like now you can choose who you want to work with, or those people that wanted to produce you might be calling you and saying, hey, can you produce me? You help me out a little bit.
Yeah. So. yeah. It's nice to be, you know, a little bit of a position of power.
And speaking of power and empowerment and whatnot, being a female in the music industry and being independent, has that given you more hurdles to jump through or jump over and things to get through, being a female in the music industry?
Definitely. Women, well, for example, you know, a lot of people want to be playing festivals. Music festivals are huge now. And if you look at them, they're quite disproportionately male, most of them. And so that's just one example of, you know, how we're just not on the same par. You know, I mean, I've had people tell me, well, we've already got two women on the bill. It's like they had two spots set aside and then they've got them filled up. So then that's it. They can't take any more women. I mean, and I've had other women tell me the same story. So I that always just blows my mind, because I think, well, what exactly are you saying by telling me that,
right?
You know, like, oh, we can only have our two token women on this bill. And then especially in this genre, it's weird too. You know, I'm a white woman, and I have women of color friends of mine who, that's a whole other hurdle, which is really strange for the blues genre, since it is an African American art form. So there's a lot of strange things going on in the music business right now. And I fit into the blues genre, but I don't. They want to put you in boxes now.
Right.
But I don't know, but this genre in particular is, it's kind of difficult for women, and they've kind of made it very competitive because we only get a couple spots here and there. So it feels very competitive when I hate that. I don't think that music should be competitive. I think there's room for all of us because it's subjective and people can like many different things and there's room for all kinds of art. So that part's hard for me. I feel like they've pitted us women against each other in that way. And also too, I think because I'm a strong woman, I'm kind and I'm very sensitive, but I'm running a business and I run this like a business, because I have to. And so I'm very straightforward and that kind of gets you labeled, mislabeled sometimes as well, as a woman. So it's weird. It's weird. It's weird, running a band of, like, I've been in this position where I was the only woman, I'm in charge, and I'm running a band of men who are all older than me too. So it's just weird dynamics. So yeah, there are issues definitely out there for women in the music business. I say I can only speak to my particular genre, but I have heard from a lot of other women artists that they run into the same thing.
Yeah, I saw a discussion on social media the other day where Adam from Nookie Jones had talked about women in the jazz industry and like how their album covers sometimes seem, they need to be a little bit more suggestive, or like their photo shoots need to be a little bit more subjective, as opposed to like a guy, you can wear kind of whatever you want and show up for the shoot and hey, you're good to go. But if you're a woman, you have to, it's almost like you're selling your body versus your artwork. And I have a daughter, and I have a sister, and I have a niece, and I can't imagine them coming up in the society that we have now, because in this Me Too era that we're in, it's like how many women can actually say that they've never been subjected to some kind of sexism or some kind of, well, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back from some janky promoter or album producer. We had the Kesha situation, and all that. And I can't imagine that she's the only person that's been in that boat, but maybe she's the only one that stood up and said, you know, I'm not going to put up with this. So.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, I've had it said to me too, that maybe I'm too old or too this or too that or not enough this or not enough that. I'm sure men get that sometimes, but I think it's disproportionate for sure.
Right. Well, the good news is you've had a number one album since April. So anybody that's told you you're too old or you're too white or you're too assertive or you're too strong, well, there's a middle finger up on both hands to every one of y'all. So,
Well, to me, it's all, I just concentrate on myself and what I'm doing because that's the only thing I can control, So what other people think of me, I've learned not to worry too much about.
So what do the kiddos think about mom having a number one album, or are they too young to really get it?
They don't talk to me about it. They talk to other people about it. To me, they just kind of pretend like it doesn't matter. Like they're too cool for school around mom. But I guess when I'm not around, they like to listen to the record and they know the words and they tell me, so they apparently they like it, but they just don't tell me about
Right. Mom's lame, but I love
Yeah.
her record,
Yeah.
They're your kids, so they can say that, but let somebody else say that, it's going to be a problem.
Right. Yeah.
And now you're constantly touring. I know I follow you on social media, and so I see that you're constantly somewhere. Who all of you gotten the opportunity to tour with, and who maybe have you not gotten the opportunity to tour with, and who would you like to?
Well, we've opened for Robert Cray, who's big name blues star, and I've been on the stage with Jelly Bean before, and Bernard Allison, and we've all got to hang out here in Minneapolis. You can basically just turn around and bump into somebody, a great musician. So that's been pretty cool. But so I don't know. I mean, there's so many fantastic people around that would be really fun to work with. But I mean, off the top of my head, I don't have anybody. I don't have a wish list because I'm so busy just trying to get my own self out working. You know, we're just constantly working. I did sit in with I got to do a show with Nicholas David the other night at Dakota, and that was fun. He's fantastic. Nicholas David, he from The Voice, and he's off touring with Devin Allman right now. He's in Europe, so he was here for a night, did a show, and then took off again. And so that was fun. So yeah, I mean, just the opportunities open up. Like I said, I haven't been doing this that long, so you know, new opportunities are presenting themselves all the time. So it's just fun.
And you do the Patsy Cline tribute show, and as a kid who grew up listening to classic country, or what's termed now classic country, and I'm a super huge fan of that, and I love Patsy. Like, when did your love and appreciation for Patsy come into play, and when did you decide that you could do a show?
Well, I grew up in the middle of nowhere in northern Wisconsin, in a little town where we basically had country and classic rock. And so I was familiar with that growing up. But it probably, I went through a time then, you know, in my 20s where I said, I hate country music. Oh, yuck, you know. And then you get to be a little older and then you kind of come back to it and realize that it's really fantastic. And so probably in the last 5 years, I would say I really started opening back up to, you know, the old stuff, you know, Hank and all that. And I love Waylon and I love all those guys. And so anyway, I just kind of went back to Patsy and started listening to the catalog. I basically just listened to the whole catalog again. And but the show came up on a whim because I was actually watching Patti Peterson's Christmas show out there at Kerner's, and I was, you know, just I love that room, and I was there with my guitar player, with my partner Mark, and I said, I would love to do a Patsy Cline show here. You think they'd let me? And I went over, he went over to the manager and said the same thing, and the manager said, okay. So
Wow.
I mean, we've been playing there for a couple years, so he knew I could sing, and he just gave us a chance, and every show has been sold out. We're on our 10th sold out show. So it was just a whim. It was just like a bucket list kind of thing for me. I thought I'd do one show, and it's turned to 10.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And so your album's gotten amazing reviews, even before it was actually available to us. A lot of people had gotten it to check it out. The two most notable inner reviews of it that I saw before I got to hear it were the downbeat feature and the John Bream interview, because especially John, because he's not known for holding back. I can remember several Prince albums where he said basically, "What is this guy doing?" So he didn't have any problem panning an album or saying something was terrible, yet he compared you to like Janis Joplin, and just had amazing things to say about the record. And then here comes Downbeat, who has reviewed everybody, and they could have just as easily said, independent artist, yeah, whatever. And then they're saying, wow, this record is amazing. It's worthy of being in your catalog. It's, you know, it has earned its place in the number one category. It just was an amazing review. Do you read each and every one of those? And if so, like, how do you, like, do they motivate you, or?
I do. I have read them all. The thing I don't read anymore are social media comments. But I do read the reviews because I think that it's all good. You know, I mean, you can. You know, I would say I went to school to be a teacher, so I try and learn something from everything, whether or not maybe I don't even think like the reviewer is something. You know, like maybe the reviewer is full of it or whatever. Like there's got to be some reason they thought what they thought or said what they said, so I just try and use it constructively. But it's been a real blessing because I have had no bad reviews for this record, and I've kept expecting them to be, you know, like I've kept thinking maybe, well, this next one's gonna have to be right, they're not, somebody's not gonna like it. So it's just been it's been so great. I mean, I can't even, I'm just so grateful and humbled by the attention. And I think, well, you know, John did the he did a feature on me, and it was the whole, basically almost the whole backside of the variety section on a Sunday, and in the Star Tribune. And I think when I saw it, I mean, because that was scary. I was scared. You know, I spent two hours talking to John in a cafe. And I was scared to death to see it, you know, and I didn't know it was going to be that big. I had no idea what he was going to write. I thought maybe it'd be some little blurb. But it was on the front page of the Variety and then also on the back. And I just started crying. I mean, it's like, I think that was the first time in my life, you know, I think a lot of us are really hard on ourselves. I think that we are, you know, a lot of us just think we're terrible, and no matter what happens, we just think like, oh, it was a fluke. Like, you know, I just really suck and they're just being nice. You know, that's what I tell myself all the time. But when I think that was the first time that I allowed myself to be proud of myself, because of exactly what you said, he doesn't just say nice things, you know, he doesn't just say things to say them. He's interviewed everybody. I mean, he's been around a long time. He's heard a lot of music and he really digs me and my stuff. So it was really, really humbling. And it was just, like I said, it was so amazing for me. And it was the first time that I went, hey, it's okay to be proud of myself. I've done a lot of hard work and I'm good. You know?
Yes.
I think you feel bad sometimes living in the Midwest too. Like, we're like, we can't say we're good at something. But that was the first time I went, okay, all right, Joanne, you know, you could own it this time.
Yeah. That's like that Sally Field moment. They like me. They really, really like me. And they do. Cause I mean, you've been number one since April. So.
Right. Yeah. I think the Downbeat thing too was really huge. I mean, that's just one of the premier magazines in the world, you know? And there I am, and they used my photo, and I just, it was pretty unbelievable. I mean, like I said, those people don't just say nice things to say them. They're not just patting you on the back just to be nice. They really mean it.
Right.
they don't have the time to just, you know, be saying things to say them.
Right. I remember reading the reviews, and it had been after we friended each other on Facebook, and after I was able to do a little listen and like in your background and whatnot. And we had talked a little bit. So then I'm listening and I'm reading the reviews and I'm like, man, I know her. Like, I don't know her, but I kind of know her. She's a friend. And look at all this stuff. So you get that sense of pride that, okay, so what I'm hearing isn't just me like having compassion for a friend, like, yeah, you know, this is really good, but no, it really isn't. Cause then here's these two, pieces of media in particular who they don't owe anybody anything and they don't care.
Right.
So it was super cool to read those and then be like, hey, absolutely, let's retweet this and let's make sure everybody sees this, because I mean, if these guys are saying it's good, it has to be good, because they would just tear it to shreds if it wasn't. And
yep.
And so you've gotten comparisons to Janis Joplin. I think I threw out the comparison to Beth Hart, who's one of my favorite female singers of all time. How do those comparisons, like, what do they do for you? And like, do they motivate you to be better, or is it hard? Is it like, man, now I got to live up to try to be this, or I got to try to be that?
I don't ever feel like that. I think the best compliment I ever got, a guy came up to me after the show and he said, I'm trying to figure out who you sound like. Is it Beth Hart? Is it, you know, I think he said Janis. I think he said a couple other people. And then he thought, I can't put a finger on it. You just sound like Joanne Parker.
Awesome.
So I think that, I think people hear things in my voice and they sound like, you know, those people. But I'm totally comfortable being me. I think I'm totally different than them as well. And I mean, it's always a compliment when someone tells me that, because those are great singers. So I don't, you know, I don't ever take offense or anything like that, you know, think, oh gosh, I have to do. I mean, I'm singing one of the most iconic singers in the world for a tribute show. with Patsy Cline.
Right.
So I'm pretty confident in myself and my skills, and I don't feel like, I need to be anything in particular. I just always take it as a compliment. I think people just, they have their favorites, and if I remind them of those people, great.
And so, is it too early to be thinking of like the next record, or have you even had a second to sit down and take a breather and maybe write a new song, or think about like what you would like to do next?
Definitely not too early. I think in this business now, the way the music business is now, you have to release something regularly because people have ADD and they forget about you pretty quickly. But no, I have tons of music in, I mean, I write constantly, so I have lots and lots and lots of songs ready to just, ready for me to teach the guys how to play them, basically. And we're adding new music as we can. We've added a couple new songs this summer. Learned new ones, and now that summer's over, I mean, summer's insanely busy with festivals and things. But now that fall's here and winter's a great time to, especially up here when it's just freezing cold and you're not going to do anything else besides sit inside and learn some new music. So we will definitely start working. I've got a Christmas song I'm actually going to go in the studio and do next month, so we have that in time for Christmas. But yeah, I mean, constantly working, so definitely not too early. So I'm hoping, long-term planning to have another record out, next summer. So we've definitely got enough material for it.
Very cool. And is anybody like professionally recording your shows? Because I know you uploaded a video the other day from your Dakota show, and you did that Aretha tribute. And I've seen your other videos that have been posted, and I've seen you singing other songs, and that was just like a magical moment. So I have to ask from a selfish standpoint, like, would there be any plans to release a live record or
Yeah,
video?
I've thought about that. I talked with an engineer who does that the other day just to see if he'd be up for it. So yeah, I definitely want to do that at some point.
And then with your Patsy Cline gig, maybe a country album, or maybe a tribute album
We've
in
talked
the
about
works.
that too. Definitely a possibility as well. Yeah, so I just have to come up with enough money to do all these things, Christopher.
Right.
But yeah, we'd love to do all of those things. I think that the live show with this band is an experience that you can't replicate. The CD, Hard to Love, is made very sparely produced. That's mostly the band in a room doing all that stuff together. So it's pretty old school that way. There's not a lot of overdubbing. There's not a lot of stuff on there. It's kind of, I like making records together, so the energy, you have the energy from the group. So it's pretty close to live, but still it's not, you know what I mean? I mean, when people
Right.
come to the show, they go, whoa. I mean, I always have people telling me that, like, I listened to your record and it's really great, but this was something I can't even, I wasn't expecting how good this was. So I definitely would like to try and capture some of that energy on a live recording.
Yeah, I think that would be an amazing record, because just from the shitty cell phone videos that I've seen people post and whatnot, I'm like, she's killing it. And then to actually have it on a mastered copy that you can play in the car on a good sound system, I think that would be a great record to have. So that would be
Hopefully,
awesome.
we can do that for sure.
And then you're definitely one of the most accessible people on social media. You don't hesitate to go live, and then you interact with everybody who comes in onto your live feeds. You don't have any problem friending people, as long as guys, come on. Keep it together, guys. Seriously, keep the pictures and the comments to yourself, because she don't play. I didn't find out from experience. I found out from a status, just to clear that up. But how can people follow you and interact with you on social media and keep up with everything that you have going on?
I'm at Joy Ann Parker pretty much everywhere, Facebook, Instagram. I've been kind of more on Instagram lately, just because Facebook sucks my time a lot. So if I let it, and I've just been so busy that I haven't been time had a lot of time to be on there, but I am on there, a couple times a day to check in with people and do a live here and there. But I'm on Twitter. Twitter's not my favorite because it's so political and over the top, but I am on there sparingly. But Instagram and Facebook are probably the two best. And I do a newsletter too. So if people are, you know, all about the email, I still do that from my website. I send those out regularly and just let people know what's going on. And if you order something from the website, you're going to get it from me. I'm still doing all my own stuff. You know, I'm running the whole ship here pretty much right now. But yeah, I like interacting on Facebook because I think it's part of my platform and part of being me that I've really also come into in the last year here is with mental health awareness. And, you know, I'm really open with people about my anxiety and depression. And so I've just started, you know, I just want to be real with people because I feel like there's so many walls up, you know, on social media. Like we've got this fake front up a lot with, oh, everything's great, everything's fantastic. And my goal is just to be real with people and let them see that I'm a real person and that I struggle with things and just like everybody else does. And, you know, I try and keep a little bit of a wall up to protect my family and my children and things, you know, so because that's important to me as well. But yet I'm, you know, I'm always me. Like what you see is what you get. So I can't be fake.
I love the live videos when you and Mark go live because you're not, it's not like some facade, like, okay, now I have to be stone faced and we got to keep this serious. Like you guys are hilarious. Like if the music thing didn't work out, like you guys have a whole variety program between the two of you just in your little travels and you know, yep. Your stops to the different fast food places while you're eating and you're talking and everybody's making jokes. And I mean, you guys are hilarious. So when you go live, I like to tune in when I can, because I know it's going to be on top of just getting to interact with you a little bit. It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah. Well, we say we're like the George Burns and Gracie show. Like we have our, our backup comedy sketch when we need it.
Yes. And again, If John Bream ever doesn't like a record, you can certainly go into the variety, and that would be cool.
We'll keep it in mind.
And my producer was checking out your Instagram, and he just showed a picture of your tattoo that you got for your birthday, which is amazing. So guys, go on Instagram, Joyanne Parker, and check that out. And so you have am I correct? You have two albums available and then you have a ton of merchandise on your website. How do we get to your website?
Well, there's just the one album. The first one, is not available anymore. It's out of print, but, we're going to redo all of those songs in new style because like I said, the old record is the old record and it just doesn't really, it's not really me anymore. So, we'll redo all of those tunes. So people will get them anyway, but, you can get to the website at joyanneparker.com and it's Joy with a Y. Joanne Parker's in Wisconsin. She makes quilts. I always tell people that it's a real person. I get called Joanne a lot, but it's Joy, like happy, happy joyanneparker.com. And yeah, we've got shirts and posters and you can grab the CD from me or download it there as well.
Okay. And, what cities are you going to next, like on your itinerary as the Joyanne Parker show and or the Patsy Cline program?
We are going back to Madison, Wisconsin here at the end of the month. And then we are headed to the Blues Blast Awards, which is in Rockford, Illinois. We are performing at the Blues Blast Awards show because I am nominated for a Blues Blast Award. So we get to perform. So that's going to be fun. So that's out in Rockford and people can come to that. I think tickets are like $30 and you can come and it's an entire fantastic evening of music from a whole bunch of great artists. So.
Very cool. So guys, she's basically told you how to get the record, how to get the merchandise. We need to, I say it every week, but we need to support these artists because the independent artists are the ones that are doing it for the love of the music, for the love of their fans. We also need to support the people who are willing to come on our show because I mean, we're an internet show and, you know, we went from having like five or six listens here and there to now we got like 175,000 listeners across the world. And it's because these guys come on our show. Like if Joy Ann wasn't willing to come on my show, then this week I wouldn't have a show. So let's support the artists. Go follow her on Facebook and Instagram. You'll catch her live. You'll pop in on the live feed. She'll give you a shout. She'll talk to you for a second. You'll get a great laugh because her and Mark are absolutely hilarious. And her album is highly entertaining. I mean, you're going to hear some songs off of it tonight. Unfortunately, with the restrictions that we have from the internet community, I can only play three, but we're playing three, so check those out. And if you forget how to get the record, if you didn't pay attention when she said it the first time, hit me up on my inbox. I'll let you know how to get in touch with her and how to get it. And don't Pirate Bay the record. Don't illegally download the record. Support the artist because they're supporting us. They're supporting the show. So if you like our show and how we do things, support the artist, because without the artist, I don't have a show. You just get to listen to me ramble on for an hour every week. And nobody wants to do that. Don't believe me. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. So definitely thanks for coming on our show. We are honored to have you here. A number one record since April, guys. A number one record since April. Number one. So we're humbled and honored to have you here. I personally love the fact that we're friends and we've gotten to chat quite a bit on Facebook and whatnot. I like being able to say that one of my friends has had a number one record since April. And so I will continue to support. And as you have new projects that come about, anything that you want to announce, anything that just needs to be heard, get it my way. I'll get it on the show. I'll have you back on the show anytime. If you and Mark want to try your variety show out on my show, I'll have you guys both on and we'll get some laughs, but whatever you need, I got your back on that. And, let's keep in touch and let's keep pushing the product because I believe in it. And if I believe in it, then my listeners are going to believe it. If they believe in it, and if they don't, well, they're going to hear it whether they want to or not. So, because I do what I want here.
That's right.
I'm an independent man, and I will play what I want to play, and y'all can't stop me. Well, somebody can stop me, but,
We don't want to. Well, thank you, Christopher. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all your support because it is a hard road to hoe out here for the indie artist. So we appreciate all the support.
It is my pleasure because, like John Bream, I don't have to like something. And the difference between me liking it and not liking it is, I'll have you on my show. We'll talk about it. We'll play the music. We'll get it out there. If I don't like it, then I kind of try not to say anything because, if you can't say something nice, you should just keep your mouth shut. So I try not to say anything bad about something that I don't like. But if I like it, then I'm playing it on the show and I'm trying to get the artist on the show so that they can get some extra exposure as well. So definitely thank you for coming on, and I will have you back anytime that you want to come back on. So if you have anything at all to share with us, let me know and we will schedule it and make it happen.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right, guys, that has been Joy Ann Parker. We're going to get back to some music from her record and close out the show. Have a great night, Joy Ann.
Thank you. You too.